Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to the Dersh Show. Our family had a really nice Seder last night. Seven people in person, three by Zoom, two from California, one from New Jersey. My daughter is in a play. She's a professional actor. And it was wonderful, and we actually all got along. We decided not particularly to talk about politics. It crept in, of course, but mostly we stuck to the Haggadah. Haggadah is the book. It means to tell the story about Passover. A lot of jokes and a lot of good family conversation and really good food. Friend of mine's mother made gefilte fish from Brooklyn, from Borough Park. That's the authentic place, and we really, really enjoyed it and told a lot of stories. And so I enjoy Passover. Passover is the most celebrated holiday in the Jewish calendar, more than Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because it's a home holiday. You don't have to go to the synagogue. You can do it right in your home, and you get a good meal, but you have to spend about, I don't know, any time between about an hour and a half and 2 hours before you get to eat the meal. We cheat a little bit. We put some chopped liver on the table that you could nibble on. And so we all made it through and had some really good wines. You're supposed to have four glasses of wine. And, you know, none of us are big drinkers. So we tend to sip the four glasses of wine, probably ended up having one full glass of wine. But it was a great event, and looking forward to next year's event. You know, every Seder ends with next year in Jerusalem, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. And the people were saying next year, we hope there is a Jerusalem and that it's still the capital of the nation state of the Jewish people, Israel. If the protesters had their way, it would become the capital of either a Muslim caliphate where women had to follow the Sharia, or a communist radical regime where Muslims would probably be prosecuted or persecuted. So I think Israel will survive and thrive, and but not with the help of the people who are protesting on the street. We'll talk about that in a minute. By the way, YouTube has banned the title of this show from its, talk back. The title of the show is Hamas supporters may soon join Hamas terrorists in blowing up a theater or a synagogue near you. That was too provocative for YouTube, but we decided not to take it down. We're going to keep it up. And if they take down the show, we'll fight them. I don't think they will. I think they're just taking down this part of it where you send in questions and comments. I don't know what they're afraid of. It's the truth. It's the truth. In fact, let's turn to it. I was thinking probably we would talk today about the gag order on Trump. I thought the opinion would come down by today, but as of 5:30, when the show begins local time in the East, there was no decision by the judge. He will surely find Donald Trump has violated this unconstitutional gag order. And we'll see what happens, because Trump will probably continue to violate it, and there'll be a real confrontation. But let's talk about an aspect of the events that are going on college campuses today that nobody has spoken about up to now. And the reason I can speak about it is I have an experience that probably very few people, living lawyers, have today. I remember the 1960s and the 1970s, and I actually defended a number of college students at Harvard who were protesting the war. I taught a course on the Vietnam War, the legalities of the Vietnam War, and I represented quite a few students and also quite a few, was involved in the Dr. Spock cake. I was involved in the 1968 demonstrations in Chicago, the Chicago 7K. So I know a lot about what happened in the late 60s and early 70s. What happened is people who started out as protesters, not a lot, maybe 100, maybe somewhat less, maybe somewhat more, but people who started out as protesters turned into terrorists. They became terrorists. They became the Weathermen, the Weather Underground. I know, I defended one of them as well. And so what's going to happen now? Here's my dire prediction, and here's what nobody has spoken about. These kids on college campuses today, and particularly the agitators outside of the campuses, the ones that are yelling the following, they're yelling, rape is resistance. In other words, they're justifying the rape of Jewish women. They're yelling, babies are part of the occupation, justifying the beheading and murder and incineration of babies. They're yelling, we are Hamas, which means we are rapists, we are murderers. They are saying, we love Hamas rockets. They're saying, burn Tel Aviv down. And most disturbingly, they are saying, October 7th will be repeated 10,000 times. That is the murder of 1,200 people, the rapes of dozens of people, the beheadings will be repeated 10,000 times. By the way, if you don't believe some of these, here is the sign. Rape is resistance. Babies are occupiers too. And it says on bottom, free Palestine by any means necessary. Now, I can't vouch for the accuracy of these signs. They seem accurate. They're consistent with other signs. But until and unless I know they're accurate, I'm going to assume they are, but with the possibility that they're not. But the others are. I personally heard on television people saying, we love Hamas. We love Hamas rockets. We are Hamas. Okay. My question for you is this. Is it a bridge too far to worry that some of these people, some of them students, some of them a little older, you know, agitators, professional agitators, radicals, is it a bridge too far to worry that some of the people who say we are Hamas would actually join Hamas and help Hamas engage in terrorism against the United States? And now let's be very clear about it. Hamas is coming to the United States. It's coming to a theater near you. If it's not completely defeated and destroyed in Gaza, it's already, there are already Hamas entities in European countries. There's no doubt in my mind there are Hamas operatives in the United States ready to join Hamas terrorism, just like there were people during the 1960s and 1970s who turned from protesters into terrorists. And by the way, they were glorified. They were glorified. Just remember Kathy Boudin. Kathy Boudin was the daughter of a friend of mine, Leonard Boudin and Jean Boudin. Kathy Boudin became a member of the Weather Underground. She was convicted. There's no doubt about it. She admits it, participating in a conspiracy to rob a Brinks truck, which resulted in the death of two police officers in Rockland County with families, children, and a few other people. And she was sentenced to life imprisonment, but she was pardoned. What happened to her after she was pardoned? She was given a faculty teaching position at, you guessed it, Columbia University. She may well have taught some of the students who are now saying we are Hamas. She was Hamas. She was in favor of terrorism. She participated in it. And many others did too. And some of them were friends of Barack Obama and ended up teaching University of Chicago and many other major institutions of learning. These were Weather Underground people who participated in terrorist activities. Some helped to blow up a laboratory, I think it was, at the University of Wisconsin. Others, including Kathy Boudin and others, planned to blow up Fort Dix, an army station in New Jersey. And some of them were planning to blow up recruitment centers for the Vietnam War. So they made the transition pretty easily from protesters to terrorists. What makes us wonder? What makes us think that some of these obnoxious, horrible, racist students who were yelling, burn down Tel Aviv, burn Tel Aviv down to the ground, wouldn't also want to burn New York? Who wouldn't also want to burn Chicago? What makes us think that these zealots, these extremists, who are now engaged, some of them in criminal conduct, blocking access of Jewish students to the university, hitting a woman with a Palestinian flag in the eye, and engaged in other kinds of violent conduct, what makes us think they won't make the transition? Now, as you know, the First Amendment distinguishes between advocacy on the one hand. You can advocate violence, you can't incite it, and you can't engage in it. The difference between advocacy and incitement is not easy. The Supreme Court has been struggling with it for 100 years. Advocacy just means I support Hamas. Incitement would mean standing in front of a crowd and say, rape, murder, kill now. I had a leading case on that. Back in the early 1970s, my client, I represented the ACLU at the time, my client was a man named Bruce Franklin, who was a tenured professor at Stanford. And he made a speech to a crowd of Stanford students opposed to the Vietnam War, urging them to destroy the computation center, which was used to help win the Vietnam War. And he said, here are pretty much his exact words because I remember them from my case. I think it would be a good idea for students to take over the computation center. And they did. And the issue was whether that was advocacy or incitement. And the Stanford faculty ultimately ruled that it was incitement and fired him from tenure. He went to Rutgers, where he did even worse things. But and Rutgers is one of the worst campuses in the country when it comes to anti-Semitism. Because let's remember, a lot of the anti-Semitism comes from minority communities. Many from the African-American community, from African-American churches, from people who Jews helped for so many years in the civil rights movement. There are many African-Americans who support Israel, many African-Americans who support Jews, but too many of them are anti-Israel and anti-Jewish and anti-Semitic. There's a real problem of anti-Semitism within elements of the Black community, and particularly elements of the Black church. And let's not mince words about that. It's just a fact. If you don't believe me, read Henry Louis Gates Jr., Skip Gates' article back in the New York Times some years ago, in which he makes that point. And it's obviously true, and it's truer today than it was then. So it's not surprising that some of the leaders of these pro-Hamas demonstrations are people of color and other minorities, and of course, Arabs and Muslims. Again, no generalizations. There are Arabs and Muslims that don't support Hamas, but too many do. And the question is, do we have a right, do we have an obligation to worry that some of these protesters who are chanting and holding signs, saying these terrible things, these horrible anti-Semitic things, calling for death to Jews, go back to Poland. How many Jews have ever been to Poland? My family comes from Poland. I've gone back to Poland. I spoke at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. I like Poland. I enjoy Polish food. But I'm not planning to go back to Poland or to Germany or to the gas chambers. But some of these students are saying, go back to Poland. Others are saying, you know, death to Jews, death to America. I don't think it's a big leap for some of these students to go from we are Hamas to joining Hamas. I think there is a potential fifth column in this country. 100,000, 10,000, 100,000? Nobody knows. But there are hundreds of thousands of students participating in these virulent anti-Israel protests. And it would be shocking if at least some of them were not willing to make the transition from advocate of Hamas to participant in Hamas terrorism. We know that happened on the West Bank. We know that happened in Gaza, where people who were just supporters of Hamas ultimately became complicitous with Hamas. Some of them joined Hamas officially. Some of them provided logistical support. For example, the men and women who worked in the kibbutzim that ended up being destroyed and the members being killed and raped, the Palestinians from Gaza who worked in these kibbutzim, who made four times the amount of money they could make, or more sometimes, than they would be able to make in Gaza, who babysat the children of these kibbutz Israelis, told Hamas where the vulnerabilities were. I think I've told you the story of a woman, a human rights activist from Canada, who was hiding in her safe room. Every Israeli house has a safe room to protect it from Hamas rockets and bombs. And the Hamas terrorists immediately went to the safe room and burned her alive. The most likely explanation is that somebody who she helped bring to Israeli hospitals for medical care, which is what she did, alerted the Hamas murderers to where she was hiding and allowed them to burn her to death. And that's what happened. So again, the line between supporting Hamas, advocating what happened on October 7th, Hamas protected by the First Amendment, as long as it doesn't provide material aid to Hamas. If you provide material aid to Hamas, you've committed a serious felony. But if you just advocate, saying Hamas is a great organization, we hope it succeeds, protected by the First Amendment. But the line between protected speech and unprotected criminal conduct sometimes is a very thin one. And I worry deeply that what happened in the 1960s and the 1970s could happen in 2024 and 2025 in New York, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Dearborn, Michigan. I worry deeply about that. I worry that people who got so involved in supporting Hamas, that this screaming and yelling, we are Hamas, we cheer for Hamas rockets, we love Hamas rockets, we want 10,000 October 7th, that if they're asked, yeah, all right, you want that? Help us. Help us. Tell us where we can plant a bomb. Tell us whether there's a synagogue on your street that doesn't have a guard. Maybe we can plant the bomb there and set it for Friday night when the Jews are at prayer and blow it up. And would anybody be surprised if some of these people would say, well, we'll help you. We'll help you. Or if some of these people will say, well, we'll give you money to buy the bomb, it wouldn't surprise me at all. So, yes, I'm a strong advocate of the First Amendment, but I'm also a strong advocate of what Thomas Jefferson said in defense of the First Amendment. He said that we have nothing to fear from speech as long as we're ready to act at the first action that is criminal. And so I don't want to arrest anybody who exercises First Amendment rights and supports Hamas. I certainly don't want to praise them, and I want university presidents to condemn them. I want the president of the United States to condemn them. Read my article in today's Wall Street Journal, my strong criticism of President Biden for not uniquely criticizing anti-Semitism and putting it together with, well, with those people who we condemn equally. Those people who don't understand what's happening to the Palestinians. I know what's happening to the Palestinians. They are being hurt by other Palestinians, by Hamas. So no, I don't understand what's happening to the Palestinians the way you do, President Biden. But don't compare me to anti-Semites or Hamas. That's exactly what you accused Donald Trump of doing. Falsely, because Donald Trump didn't actually do that. He actually distinguish between the people who said Jews will not replace us and the people who just had a disagreement about whether or not Robert E. Lee's statue or the statue of other Confederate leaders should be destroyed or taken away from public areas, an issue about which reasonable people could disagree. So I'm worried. I think there is a fifth column in this country. I think we have terrorists who don't even know they're terrorists yet. Among us, you know, I write a lot about prevention. I have a book I'm working on now called The Preventive State. And the line between legitimate prevention and too early prevention is a very difficult one. But surely we have an obligation to be concerned about these radical haters, these vicious, racist anti-Semites who applaud Hamas. We really have an obligation to be concerned that they may cross that line. We have an obligation to watch them carefully. We have an obligation to be concerned. We have an obligation to observe. We have an obligation, if we know anybody who's doing that, to report it. We have an obligation to be careful, because if we're not, we're going to fall into the same trap we fell into in the late 1960s, early 1970s, where we weren't ready. We weren't ready for the Kathy Boudins. We weren't ready for protesters to become murderers. We weren't ready for people to cross the line from incitement to actual violence. We weren't ready for that. I want to be ready for that. I've written about that a lot. And I am an expert in the law of prevention. And I worry deeply about whether we're not sufficiently concerned. Right now, the argument is it protected by the First Amendment as advocacy or is it incitement? That's a very important issue. I'm worried about the next step. Will it turn from incitement to actual participation? I think it may. I think there are people standing in front of Columbia today who would help Hamas if Hamas asked them to. And believe me, Hamas will ask them to. Because Hamas is watching this. Remember, Hamas sent a note praising these racists and anti-Semites, saying, you are the future of America. Hamas is right about that. These students from Columbia are the future of America, which is why I wrote a column saying that what's happening in Columbia may be far more dangerous than what happened on January 6th or what happened in Charlottesville. Those were not the future leaders of America. These elite kids who come from rich families, who are paying $90,000 for tuition and room and board. They can't even go to class. But these are the elite kids who could become our future, who next year may be working for Goldman Sachs and the year after may be in the editorial room of the New York Times or CNN. In 10 years, maybe running for Congress and maybe try to be a colleague of AOC, what the hell is her name? In any event, doesn't matter. She's a very dangerous racist, very dangerous bigot, very dangerous anti-Semite. How dare she call what Israel is doing in self-defense genocide? That's a form of Holocaust denial. When you say Israel is guilty of genocide, you're denying the Holocaust. You're denying what genocide really is. Genocide is taking people, babies, and putting them in gas chambers and killing them deliberately and directly and then burning their ashes in crematoriums. That's genocide. Genocide isn't fighting in self-defense against terrorists who have promised to rape your daughters and kill your children. And because Hamas puts human shields in the way of Israel getting the Hamas terrorists, some are killed. That's not genocide. That's self-defense. Israel is killed in proportion to the combatants it's killed, fewer civilians than any country in the history of urban warfare with the use of human shields. Much, much less than Great Britain, much less than the United States, much less than any other civilized country, much less than Canada, much less than Australia. And so the idea of calling Israel genocidal is racism. But it's also a form of Holocaust denial, because if all the Holocaust was what Israel has done, if Germany had just acted in self-defense and killed, you know, a few thousand Jews who were used as human shields, that wouldn't be a Holocaust. that would be what Israel's doing. So to compare what Israel's doing with the Holocaust, to compare it to genocide, is a form of homicide, a form of Holocaust and genocide denial. So let's turn to some questions. Got some really, really good ones today. This is one. Alan, gays for Hamas. I talked about gays for Hamas being like the chickens for KFC. Gays for Hamas are not any stupider than Jews for today's Democratic Party. You know, I'm beginning to wonder about that sometimes myself. Like a lot of Jews are Democrats, despite the Democratic Party's approach to Israel, especially that miserable statements made by Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and others who want regime change, not in Iran, not by Hamas. They want regime change by the only democracy in the area. They want to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, if you want to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu, it's very easy. Move to Israel and vote against them. But don't, as an American leader, as the former Speaker of the House, as the majority leader of the Senate, don't call for regime change when you haven't even called for regime change in Iran or by Hamas. So shame on the Democratic leadership. Shame on President Biden for some of the things he said. Praise for some of the things he said early on October 8th, 9th, 10th, but not recently. What can the average Christian Jew do to show support? Let me first of all thank profusely, in general, the Christian community, particularly the evangelical community, which has been so supportive of Israel. More universally, the evangelical community has been more universally supportive of Israel than the Jewish community has been. The Jewish community is more divided over Israel than the evangelical community is. But the evangelical community has been fantastic. Many, many, many Catholics, many, many Protestants, even non-evangelical Protestants have been very supportive of Israel, especially since October 7th. So I think every Jew owes every Christian thanks and an appreciation for what you've said and done in the last 6 months. These were the same commies during Vietnam. Now they run the universities. You reap what you sow. If these people were around during World War II, we would be speaking German today. A little overstated, but I think a lot of this does grow out of the Vietnam War. Some of the people I represented and some of the people I know who were outspoken anti-American critics during the Vietnam War became university professors and are now the leaders of the extreme radical elements and anti-Israel elements as well. But by the way, even during the Vietnam War, when I was fighting with people like Kunstler and Noam Chomsky, they weren't as virulently anti-Israel as the radicals have become today. In fact, virtually everybody who protests today against Israel is not protesting what's going on in Gaza or about a famine. There's no famine, but about hunger. They're not doing that. They're calling for the end of Israel. They're saying Palestine will be free. Free of what? Free of Jews. It means no two-state solution. It means no Israel. That's what they're saying. Even the Vietnam War anti-Israel people didn't really urge this. Then another letter. It's in our grade schools. Don't kid yourself. I was stopped at a sign in traffic and a group of fifth graders were protesting on the sidewalk with their teacher. Yeah, it's certainly in middle schools. It's certainly in high schools. And I suspect it's in grade schools. It's become a thing to hate Israel, just like it was a thing to hate Jews in Germany. I showed at the Seder last night a German mug, a beer mug from the 1890s. And every decoration on the side of the mug was an anti-Semitic symbol, sign of a Jew stealing money from Germans and, you know, doing all the terrible things. So it begins with just the kind of anti-Semitism we're seeing on campuses today, but it doesn't end there. I think what Golda Meir said still holds for Gaza. Quote, we can forgive the Arabs for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. That's what most Israelis feel. We will only have peace with the Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And finally, if these people were being impressed, they wouldn't be oppressing others. That's what they're doing right now. Absolutely correct. It's all the fault of this phony pseudo-academic discipline called intersectionality, which divides the world into oppressors and oppressed. The oppressors are white, Christian, Jewish, American, and the oppressed are the multi-billionaire Qataris, the multi-billionaire Hamas leaders, the multi-billionaire Arabs who have access to all the oil in the world. That's their definition of oppressed. And the oppressors today are primarily the Jews. So it's intersectionality, it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's critical race theory. It's all of those fake, unacademic, unintellectual propaganda items that are turning universities into sewers, into the most anti-intellectual places. Today, you get a more intellectual discussion if you go to a street corner in Brooklyn or Queens than you do at Harvard and Yale and Princeton. When's the last time anybody had a debate about Israel, the Middle East, on any of these Ivy League campuses? No, they don't want to debate. They want to shut you down the way they tried to shut down the Speaker of the House today at Columbia when he made a speech. They weren't listening. They were just shouting him down. They wouldn't allow him to speak. And then they claim free speech. Free speech for me, but not for thee. That's not the American way. See you next week.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.